We have some pretty powerful readings today on this sixth Sunday of Easter. Sometimes readings like this are called the canon within the canon, because while all the words of sacred scripture are inspired, sometimes we have a passage from sacred scripture that seems to really get at the heart of who God is and who we are. And those are certainly the passages that we're dealing with today. As we hear Jesus say to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love." And then as a response to the love that he shares with us, he says, "Love one another." Our second reading today also is one of these foundational passages. There, St. John tells us that God is love. So this is what I'd like to focus on today, this simple three-word sentence, God is love. Now, it's easy for us to think that this is just something sentimental, or it's just a nice thing for us to hear or for God to say that God is love. That's because we often associate love with sentimentality, love with feelings. Love is not a feeling. When we say that God is love, we aren't saying so much what God is, but what God does, that God loves. St. Augustine put it this way, that in God there is a lover, whom we call the Father, and there's a beloved who receives the lover's love and loves the lover back, and that there's a third, that there's love that flows between the lover and the loved, and that's whom we call the Holy Spirit. So St. Augustine explained the Trinity in terms of love, that if God is to be love, he can't just be one, he has to be three. Someone to love, someone to receive love, and then the love that flows between the two, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So if this is going to make any sense to us, then it's helpful for us to know what love is. I just said that love is not a feeling, even though that's a lot of times what we take for granted. Parents understand well that love is not a feeling, because when you have to discipline your child or punish your child, you don't stop loving them. It's precisely because you love them that you discipline them, even though you know that it's not going to feel very good for them or for you. But love is what drives us to encourage our children when they need encouragement and to punish our children when they need to learn a lesson, because as St. Thomas Aquinas tells us, love is not a feeling, but love is willing the good of the other. So when parents spoil their children, it's not loving for them to do so, even though it feels a lot better at the time to let them get away with whatever they want to or give them whatever they ask for. A good parent who's really loving their children is going to discipline, is going to withhold things from their children sometimes for their good. Because love is not a feeling, but willing the good of the other as other. So I guess I love that definition from St. Thomas Aquinas. Some students from Holy Trinity High School have heard me talk about that definition many times this year. Love as not a feeling, but willing the good of the other as other. And I always think it's interesting that St. Thomas adds those last two words onto his definition, willing the good of the other as other. Because to love is not somehow to help ourselves and helping the other person, but to help the other person because they are a good in and of themselves. And so there's almost a forgetfulness of ourself that takes place when we really love someone. Pope Benedict said this, that love involves the expropriation of my ego. It means I have to get out of myself and be focused on this other person in front of me. I have to lose myself, in a sense, for the sake of the other. This is actually how one of my favorite theologians described the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Hans Urs von Balthasar. He said that from all eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit breathe one word, and that's thou, or you. That the Father is constantly saying you to his Son. And the Father is, and the Son is constantly saying back to the Father, you, thou. And the Holy Spirit is constantly saying to the Father and to the Son, thou, you. Because when we love, we lose ourselves in the other and for the sake of the other, you. So when we love authentically, we begin to forget a little bit about ourselves and are able to focus on the other. This is what, I don't mean to get too theological here, but this is why St. Thomas also calls the Trinity subsistent relations. Because in order to be Father, there has to be a Son. And in order for there to be a Son, there has to be a Father. So in order to call God the Father, there has to be a Son. So already in the name of God the Father, there's a reference to the other. And in order to call the Son, there has to be a Father. And so in the very name of God the Son, there's implied the existence of one who loved the Son into existence of another. Even the Holy Spirit. The Greek word for spirit is pneuma, breath. And so what does there need to be for breath to occur? Well, someone who breathes. Breath can't exist without a someone breathing it. So even the name Holy Spirit implies someone, in this case the Father and the Son, who breathe the Holy Spirit forth, which is their love for one another. So again, the point, I don't want to lose the point in the midst of the theology. The point is that even in the persons of the Holy Trinity, there's like a losing themselves for the sake of the other, and that is their very existence. It's like when Jesus says in the gospel this mysterious phrase, he who saves his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So this is true of God himself, whose love in their gift of self to one another, they find themselves. And this is true for us too. Jesus says in the gospel today, as the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. Love one another. So in an amazing way, God's inviting us into this dynamic of love in our own life and inviting us to love him back and to love others. And how do we do that? Well, it's by being willing to lose ourselves for the sake of the other. Willing the good of the other as other. So let's put a little flesh on this. You know, we see this so well in the lives of the saints. So for instance, one of the great mother saints on this Mother's Day, Saint Monica, the patron saint of mothers. So we know about Monica's life because Saint Augustine, her famous son, writes about her in his autobiography called The Confessions. And what do we know about Monica? Well, that she was totally focused on the conversion of her son, because Augustine was kind of a wild man when he was a young man. He was not baptized when he was younger, even though his mother was a Christian. And he lived with a woman with whom he had a child for many years, not marrying her. And he was involved in a number of different kind of weird and heretical groups that had weird beliefs. He's very focused on sensual pleasures. And she followed him around wherever he went because he was a very talented orator. And so he would find work in these different cities and attract a lot of followers. And his mother was one of his followers. Even though she hated everything that he was saying, she followed him around from northern Africa, where they were from, to different parts of Italy. So eventually she follows him to Milan, where he hears the preaching of St. Ambrose, and something strikes a chord within him, and he begins having a dialogue with Ambrose, and eventually decides to become baptized and is converted, and then is ordained a priest and made a bishop, and he's one of the greatest theologians in our church. But Monica spent most of his earlier life praying and crying and praying and following him around and begging God. So at the end of Monica's life, they're near the sea by Rome, and she's near death. Augustine and his brother are with her. Augustine and his brother are so emotional about the impending death of their mother, and they're arguing with one another because they think that she should be buried back in northern Africa where they're from. And Monica overhears their conversation from her deathbed and says, "I don't care where I'm buried. The only thing that was important to me has now happened, and that's your salvation. So bury me wherever you want. My life has been fulfilled." So what do we see in Monica's life? Her forgetfulness of self, her willing to lose herself for the sake of the good of her sons. This is what happens when we love another. We worry less about ourselves and we are consumed with the other. Another great example is another mother saint, St. John of Mola. She's a modern saint. She died in 1962. And she was a medical doctor, a married woman with a number of children. So her last pregnancy, she developed a tumor in her uterus and was told by the doctor that she needed to have a hysterectomy, which of course would remove the tumor, but would also kill the unborn child that was in her womb. And she said, and the doctor told her that her life was very much at risk if she did not have this hysterectomy. And she said, I choose my child's life over my own life. And she prayed that the child would live, even if it meant that she herself would die. So in April of 1962, she gave birth to a healthy little girl and died a couple days later from complications because of that medical problem that she had. Her family attended her beatification and canonization. Some of her children are still living. And it's a testament to what love does. Love makes us forgetful of self and helps us to be totally consumed by the other. This is definitely what we see in the third and final mother saint that I want to bring up. This is what we see in our Mother Mary, who was at the foot of the cross when her son dies. Sometimes we call Mary the co-crucified, not because she was crucified on the cross, but because of the sword of sorrow that pierced her heart as she stood by the cross watching her son die. And she was totally consumed with love for him. She followed him around in his public ministry, and her life was given totally over to being one of his faithful disciples. So when we are willing to give our life for the sake of another, we find ourselves. So this is why we venerate Monica, St. John of Mola, our Blessed Mother in heaven, is because their life was not about them, it was about others. Love made them forgetful of self so that they could be totally devoted to the other and find themselves precisely by losing themselves. So this is the way that we find our happiness in life, when we don't have to be so worried about ourselves. Isn't that one of the things that's most miserable? It's when we're just so self-focused. We just can't get out of our head. We can't get out of our own experience. When I feel like this, I know that I have to give myself in some way. I have to visit somebody. I have to call somebody. I have to get out of myself. Forget myself. In favor of another, and that's what love is. Jesus said, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. What's Jesus's joy? Giving his life for us. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy might be complete. How is our joy complete? By living a life of love in imitation of the Holy Trinity, which means forgetting ourselves in favor of the other. That's how we find ourselves and our joy.